The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Beyer, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Edwards, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Olson, Brzezinski, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Telfer, Thompson, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Whitsitt, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
Thank you. A quorum is now present, and we will post the colors. And Senator, well, I'll lead the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Our invocation today is a musical performance. Wendy Jackson, I invite your attention. Wendy over here by a piano. Wendy Jackson of Portland, she will sing a gospel song titled Stand. Very fine gospel song, and our invocation today, we want to welcome you to the Oregon State Senate. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here, and I hope that you'll stay as long as you can. That was very nice, and we deeply appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. We'll now go to courtesies of the Senate to recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I would like to extend courtesies of the Senate to Wendy Jackson, who sang our invocation today. I invited her here. Wendy is a native Oregonian. She is a graduate of the University of Oregon College, and I heard Wendy sing at the Martin Luther King Scanner Breakfast, and I was just so taken away with her amazing vocal quality and her pitch and her lovely voice that I thought it'd be wonderful for us to hear her here this morning in the Senate. Wendy grew up singing in her father's church, the late Bishop H.B. Daniels Sr. at the Daniels Memorial Church of God in Christ. Through her singing career, she has traveled throughout the United States, Canada, and Spain. For the past 13 years, she's participated in the choir at the highly acclaimed Gospel Christmas, which is accompanied by the Oregon Symphony. Wendy is also a public servant, and for 23 and a half years, she's been employed by Multnomah County Department of Corrections as a parole and probations officer. She's married to the Reverend Creighton Jackson, who is here with her today, and she's a proud mother and grandmother. Her favorite hobbies are gardening and cooking, and she resides in Senator Lori Montes Anderson's district. Thank you again, Wendy.
Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just want to reiterate what Senator Jackie Dingfelder did say regarding with the new redistricting plan, I've now inched further into Portland, and I'm very proud to have the Reverend and Wendy Jackson in my district, and thank you so much for being here.
Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, I have two courtesies today. First of all, up behind me is Mr. Radcliffe and Mr. Ewer's classes, fourth graders from Deer Creek Elementary in Tigard, and among them is a good friend of mine, master Lego builder, Brett Robert. And if you'd extend courtesies there. And go ahead.
I'd like to welcome the fourth graders from Deer Creek Elementary in the back gallery. It's a pleasure to have you here. This is your state capital. I hope you're having a good day and a good time. Stay as long as you want, and I hope you'll come back again and again. And thank you, and you honor us by being here. So good job, and stay with us. Senator Atkinson, please, for your second courtesy.
Mr. President, it's a great thrill for me to introduce to this body a personal friend of mine. Our family and the big Atkinson family and the big Ramirez family are pleased and to offer to you and request courtesies for Mr. Cesar Ramirez, who drove up yesterday. He is hopefully embarrassed as he's on statewide television, but he is the Latino Student Union president at Southern Oregon University, the first one in his family to go to college. Very few months, he will be the first one to graduate from college. And Mr. President, he has an ambition to go to a law school, and I have some very strong opinions about that. And so I'm up here to introduce him and persuade him heavily. And so, Mr. President, would you please extend courtesies?
Thank you, Cesar. Thank you for being here today. I'd like to extend the courtesies to you. Congratulations on your success, and congratulations on being a first generation. That's very significant. I work at Western Oregon, and we have so many students at Western Oregon that are first generation. And graduation day is a very tearful and proud day because you can tell it means so much to the families. I know your family, and you led the way, and you should take great pride in that and what you've done for your family. And I know you're looking at law school. I hope you go to law school. I think it's a great thing. It's a great degree to have, and it's an honor and a privilege to have you here. Stay as long as you want. Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Seated at my desk today is my dear friend Susan Hammer, who significantly is also the best friend of Gail Ackerman, who we will be memorializing today. Susan is a mediator in Portland, and she's one of those citizens are the riches of the city example. In fact, she served as president of the city club among her many community activities and board memberships. She's here today. I'm very honored to have her be present, as she was so present for Gail Ackerman during her final days.
Thank you. Susan, thank you for being here. First of all, let me thank you for all you're doing, all the public service and civic service on that. Thank you very much. And I know this is a tough time for you and the friends of Gail and her family, and I think that we're going to honor her in a very significant way in just a little bit here, and I'm very pleased that you could be here on the floor with us, and I'm very pleased that Senator Burdick introduced you. So welcome, and I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you, and we welcome your presence here as we memorialize Gail in just a little bit. Thank you. Are there any further courtesies? Remonstrances? There are messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm Director Radico, speakers, to inform you the House has passed House Bill 4009, 4039, adopted House Concurrent Resolution 203.
Reports from committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 10 was distributed to members February 9th, and number 11 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal and the State's report. It is so ordered. Propositions and motions. Action on executive appointments that require the Senate confirmation. Introduction and the first reading of Senate measures. We're now on to the second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 201, recognizing and honoring Eugene Police Officer Chris Kilcullen for service to the state. Senate Bill 1503, relating to influenza vaccinations, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1504, relating to health insurance, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1505, relating to civil commitments to Native Americans, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1525, relating to public safety, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1527, relating to crime, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1540, relating to education, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1544, relating to economic development, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1575, relating to disorderly conduct in the second degree, and declaring emergency.
These are passed to the calendar. We're now on to the third reading of Senate measures. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Concurrent Resolution 207, in memoriam Gail Louise Ackerman, 1949-2012.
We're now recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the resolution, and colleagues, I rise today with a heavy heart to honor and memorialize a dear friend, a mentor, an inspiration, Gail Louise Ackerman. Gail was a fourth-generation Oregonian with broad expertise working on natural resource, environmental law and policy, and transportation issues. Gail was born in Portland, but raised here in Salem, and she was a graduate of South Salem High School, where she excelled in both academics and sports. She blazed a trail for women throughout her life, beginning as one of the first female swimmers at South Salem High School to be awarded a letter. Gail left Oregon to attend Stanford, where she earned a degree in economics and then went on to obtain a law degree and a master's in natural resource policy and management at the University of Michigan. She began her career as an attorney in the solicitor's office of the U.S. Department of Interior in Washington, D.C., where she advised the Bureau of Land Management and the Bureau of Reclamation from 1975 to 78, but she yearned to be back home to Oregon, and she returned here in 1978 to join what later became the Stoll Reeves Law Firm in Portland. There she worked to help build the Northwest's first specialty natural resources and environmental law practice. She also started her civic work by serving on the Oregon Water Policy Review Board from 1981 to 1985. In 1987, she left private practice to come here to the Capitol, and she served as Governor Neil Goldschmidt's Assistant for Natural Resources, a position she held from 1987 to 1991. And she was responsible for natural resources, energy and environmental policy development and implementation. She worked closely with all the state resource agencies and, of course, the legislature. She also served as the main liaison with federal resource agencies, including extensive work on plans for Oregon's national forests. And in 1991, she returned to private law practice at Stoll Reeves until 2000, when she left to become the executive director of the Deschutes Resources Conservancy in Bend, working on developing voluntary, market-based watershed restoration methods. In 2003, Gail Ackerman became the first full-time director of the Institute for Natural Resources. We created that body here in 2001 through the Oregon Sustainability Act, and the Institute for Natural Resources is a cooperative enterprise bringing the scientific knowledge and expertise of the Oregon University system and other higher education institutions to bear on natural resource management. It was a perfect fit for Gail because she was able to meld her interest in science and her love of the outdoors and making better policy for the state of Oregon. Gail also stepped up to serve on the Oregon Transportation Commission, which she was appointed by the governor in 2000. She served for 11 years, and she was chair from 2007 to August 2011, when she had to step down because of her illness. In announcing her resignation to ODOT staff, Director Mark Garrett praised Gail for her lasting impact on ODOT and the state's transportation system. And I would like to share this quote from Matt Garrett because I think it is truly insightful. There are truly no words that can describe the impact Gail has had on this agency, the Transportation Commission, Oregon, and the national transportation debate. Her intelligence, dedication, and sacrifice is only surpassed by her humanity and caring for her fellow Oregonians. So after leaving the Institute of Natural Resources in 2011, Gail actually retired, although I use that term loosely. She started her legacy project, which was Willamette Strategies, with the goal of promoting a shared understanding and vision of our relationship to the Willamette Valley. And she had intended to devote the rest of her working years to this project. Gail's community service was vast and included president of the Oregon Women's Forum, the board of directors and executive committee of the Portland Metro Chamber of Commerce, the board of governors of the City Club of Portland. She was a senior fellow in the American Leadership Forum, and one of Gail's proudest achievements was participating in drafting the legislation that created the Columbia Gorge National Scenic Act in 1981. Gail epitomized the servant leader, and I would like to share a quote from the Oregonian editorial that ran on January 30th. Ackerman, a lifelong Oregonian and strong environmentalist, was a rare figure in Oregon public policy circles. Someone who always seemed in the tough debates, and the decisions for the right reasons, to figure things out, to find solutions, to get things done. She wasn't an attention seeker, and my guess is that Ackerman is probably the most intelligent, most effective public servant that you've never heard of, end quote. Gail was not only passionate about preserving the natural beauty of our state, but she also loved to explore and experience the outdoors. An avid cyclist, I spent quite a bit of time with Gail talking about many, many policy issues, but also enjoying the great outdoors with her, and we enjoyed many bike rides, including a very memorable long weekend of biking and wine tasting, fortunately not at the same time, in Walla Walla, Washington last spring. Besides her vast intelligence and knowledge about natural resource law and policy, what I will remember most about Gail is that she was creative, courageous, and not afraid to take risks. She understood the connection between land use and transportation and used this understanding to promote public policy that would preserve the natural landscape and beauty of our state. Gail's family was not able to be here today, but they are watching remotely. And I would like to acknowledge Gail's role not only as a trailblazer and a friend, but as a leader and a public servant. Gail's passing is such a huge loss for this state, and she will be sorely missed. Colleagues, please join me in honoring her here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. You heard a very good rendition of Gail's amazing public service contribution to the state of Oregon, the tremendous loss that we will all feel for the contributions that she made. But Gail had a human side as well. Yesterday was her memorial service in Portland. And of course, being Gail Ackerman, she planned it down to the last minute. She planned everything about it. She even had a pretty large discussion on the weight and size of the paper for the program. And so it was a very well organized, very compelling service. There were only four eulogies, and all of the eulogies had a different purpose. Some were for her public service, but some were for her family. And the one that my friend Susan gave was it's Gail as a friend and Gail as a person. And so for my comments today, I would like to read the eulogy that Susan Hammer gave at Gail Achterman's memorial service yesterday. I met Gail in third grade Sunday school class at the First Presbyterian Church of Salem, Oregon. We grew up together, went to high school together, left and returned to Oregon to practice law at Stoll Reeves. We were friends for 53 years. The Gail I knew as a third grader, intellectually curious, wildly enthusiastic, direct, and ever so smart, was the same Gail I have known intensely during the last few months. Gail had a big public presence. I had the privilege of being with her in the private space that only good friends can know. Gail was the girl most likely to succeed from the South Salem High class of 67. Even then, she excelled and was driven to make a big difference. Gail had a remarkable way of being the good girl, playing by the rules and at the same time breaking turf and venturing into uncharted territory. She was proud of her first act of rebellion, which occurred in eighth grade. Gail sought a waiver from using Palmer penmanship. She said, "I am good at Palmer penmanship, but I do not like Palmer penmanship." She took a course in calligraphy at the Bush Barn to perfect her elegant trademark printing. She was proud that she broke from the pack. Gail was a pioneer in women's sports. High school was a time when most of us couldn't bear the thought of wearing Speedos or getting chlorine in our hair. Gail loved competition and dared to be strong before it was cool for girls to be strong. I remember sitting behind her in English class and marveling at her broad shoulders. Although it took Stanford 25 years to recognize her as a three-sport athlete, she was awarded a Stanford letter jacket and wore it with great pride to the office on Saturdays. Even in her 50s, Gail set 7 athletic records for her age group at the Multnomah Athletic Club. In the summers between college years, Gail was a capital guide here in Salem. In many ways, this role defined her. She became encyclopedic on Oregon history, geography, and natural resources. The guide was always there when climbing Broken Top, backpacking around Mount Adams, hiking the Oregon coast, skiing on Mount Hood, exploring the gorge, and biking in her beloved Willamette Valley. She came with stories about the tribes and early settlers, the history of the railroads, the Gorge Act, and one of her favorites, the Taylor Grazing Act of 1934. Experiencing nature every day became an even higher priority after her diagnosis. She wanted to use her precious and diminishing energy to really see nature. She sat in the Japanese garden, slowly moving from bench to bench, observing everything in sight, the moss, the shape and color of the trees, the beauty of the bark. She watched fall turn to winter, and she hoped to see the irises in the spring. About 2 months ago, as a disease was whittling her to her essence, I asked Gail if there was something she really wanted me to say here today and anything I should not tell. She said one thing: tell them I was a lifelong learner. A little story. Just 7 weeks ago today, yesterday, Gail and I spent the winter solstice at a retreat at the Mount Angel Abbey. She brought 6 books for 2 days, including a big book on the rule of Saint Benedict. I have an image of her sitting slightly bent forward, using her blue highlighter on all the most important points. She winced every few minutes from a jab of pain, and I urged her to take a pain pill and rest. Her answer was, "No, I just have 5 more pages. This is really good, and I want to finish it before our dinner discussion with Father Pius." The lifelong learner knew her strengths and was smart enough to know her weaknesses. About 5 years ago, she said, "You need to teach me about emotional intelligence." She set out to learn more about the softer side of life, honoring intuition, nurturing friendships, and about the power of vulnerability. She became an even better friend. Gail, the teacher, gave us a big lesson about living and dying. We followed Caring Bridge as if hearing from a foreign correspondent about a place that we would someday visit. We felt the optimism of clinical trial, her utter amazement at having 3 liters of fluid taken off her belly, her strategies to manage the pain, and her choice to move to palliative care. She was candid and courageous, no whining. I asked her why, with limited energy, posting on CaringBridge was still a priority. She said, it builds community. It also let her feel the love. Recently, the conversations that we started in Sunday school in 1957 came back into focus. She had great faith that God would always be with her, and she was not afraid to die. We talked again about notions of the afterlife. The only thing she knew for sure is that eternal life exists through the good she did and the lives she touched. On her last night, we listened to some beautiful choral music. She relaxed. When the music stopped, she uttered one of her last words, astounding. She was still wildly enthusiastic about the wonder of it all. And take note, Steve Jobs' last word was one syllable. Gail's was 3.
Senator Lori Montes Anderson yielded her time. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson, please.
Thank you. The obituary from the January 31st Oregonian doesn't begin to do justice to the brilliant, provocative, groundbreaking, funny woman that was Gail Akerman. As late as Christmas time, I was on the telephone with Gail, talking policy issues scheduled to come before this legislative session. As always, she was insightful, wise, well-informed, opinionated, and coincidentally right about the issue at hand. While she sounded robust that day, no one close to Gail could ignore the cancer lurking inside her. We had all walked beside her as she heroically and openly chronicled her fight to outfox and outlive the relentless disease that ultimately and untimely ended her extraordinary life. When we spoke last December, I couldn't believe that the remainder of her time could be measured in just weeks. I urge the Senate today to memorialize this amazing woman by passing the resolution before you.
Further discussion? Senator Dingvalley, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises upon the third reading and the final passage of SCR 207. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye as their names are called, and those opposed, no. Will the clerk please call the roll?
George? Aye. Gerard? Aye. Hass? Aye. Johnson? Aye. Cruz? Montes Anderson? Aye. Monroe? Aye. Morse? Aye. Nelson? Aye. Olson? Aye. Prozanski? Aye. Rosenbaum? Aye. Shields? Aye. Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer, aye. Thompson, aye. Berger, aye. Whitsitt, aye. Winters, aye. Atkinson, yes. Bates, Beyer, aye. Boquist, Burdick, aye. Devlin, aye. Dingfelder, Edwards, aye. Ferrioli, aye. President Courtney,
yes.
Not answering, Boquist. Excused, Bates, Boquist, Morse, Starr, 26 aye votes.
SCR 207, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The Oregon State Senate extends its profound condolences and sympathies to the family and friends of Gail Akerman, and through its passage of SCR 207 has just paid Gail Akerman its highest tribute. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Memorial 201, urging Congress to enact President to sign Trade Reform, Accountability, Development, and Employment Trade Act of 2009.
Recognize Senator Chip Shields.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Memorial 201 is about sending a message to Congress that we need trade to work better for Oregon workers, that we need trade to work better for workers like the men and women of the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers, the AWPPW, and the United Steelworkers, that we all represent and who brought this memorial forward. So colleagues, I say to you this, this memorial is about jobs, it's about improving trade for the middle class, and it's about standing by our commitment, a commitment to improve the lives of Oregon workers, like the hard-working men and women of the AWPPW and the United Steelworkers, whom we all represent and who brought this memorial forward. And before you vote today, I would encourage you to take a fresh look at the bill and remind yourself of your commitment to them as a co-sponsor, if you were one. And then I urge you to vote aye for all their sake. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there a discussion? Senator Shields, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of SM-201. Those in opinion, bill shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Girard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner-Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dienfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? President Courtney?
Yes. Boquist is coming.
Right, excuse. Excused, Bates, Morse, Starr, voting no, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Telfer, Thompson, Whitsitt, 21 aye votes.
SM-201, have received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk, call the roll. Excuse me, we'll read the bill.
Senate Bill 1531, relating to connection federal tax law and prescribing effective date.
Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Mr. President, colleagues, we have before us a tax bill, one of my favorite topics. And it comes to you with a unanimous vote out of Senate Finance and Revenue, a committee that I would mention proudly that 100% of the members are seasoned members of capital punishment. But what the bill does is basically two things. It updates Oregon's date of connection to certain federal laws, the Internal Revenue Code, so it currently stands at December 31st, 2010. We're moving it to December 31st, 2011. And as I mentioned, there are some things that are not connected to the Federal Internal Revenue Code. So the bill also clarifies that for agricultural and horticultural cooperatives, Oregon's disconnect from Section 199, which is the domestic production activities deduction, should not affect the calculation of patronage dividends. It's a good bill, simple bill, really. I urge your yes vote.
Recognize Senator Atkinson. Okay. Is there further discussion of the measure? Senator Telfer, do you wish to close? Question now rises upon the third reading, the final passage of SB 1531. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner-Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused. Bates? Morse? 28 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1531, having received a custom majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill. I will now return to order of courtesies without objection and recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, thank you very much. I just want to extend courtesies to a good friend of mine, Joel LaFollette, who's right here. Joel owns a fantastic fly shop called Joel LaFollette's Royal Treatment in West Lynn, purveyor of flying fishing rods and apparel. But more than that, Mr. President, if you recall, about a year ago, he did a, 2 years ago, did a very large piece of fly art, fly fishing art, that was displayed in the Galleria and raised a tremendous amount of money for some conservation efforts. I'm a fan, Senator Morris is a fan, and if you'd please extend courtesies to Mr. Joel LaFollette, I would appreciate it.
Joel, thank you for coming here today. We'd like to extend the courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to you. Stay as long as you want. I'm not that artistic, and I'm not that good at some of the things you're good at, but by you being here, I can live vicariously through you. So thank you very much for being here, very much. Without objection, we will now return to the regular order of business, and that was the third reading of the Senate measures. And would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 1535, relating to use of master farm instruments and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. And so, colleagues, over the years, I've worked with a group called Proud Ground, which is an affordable housing group located near my district. And mainly, we worked on legislation that will protect public investments in affordable housing. And that's the bill before you today, Senate Bill 1535, which builds on that previous work. Senate Bill 1535 is somewhat technical, but very briefly, this bill will encourage the recording of affordable housing documents through the use of a master short form. Affordable housing documents can frequently be very long and complex, and the ability to use a short form will be very beneficial for affordable housing groups and homeowners. That will mean more affordable housing documents are recorded. I realize even with that explanation, Senate Bill 535 can still be a bit confusing. Instead, it's probably much more helpful to know why this bill is needed. First and foremost, Senate Bill 1535 will help to protect the investments we've already made in affordable housing. Because of their length and complexity, there are times when affordable housing documents are not being recorded. We want to encourage recording of those documents through the use of a short form so that there is always a public record regarding an affordable home and also the investments that are made in that affordable home. Second, this will help decrease the many errors that frequently find their ways into the long, complicated affordable housing documents. And a couple of last points to consider. Oregon law already allows the use of a master short form for trust deeds. Thank you, Mr. President. I was having a hard time hearing myself talk. This bill will expand that law to allow master short forms for affordable housing documents as well. Colleagues, I realize this is not an exciting topic. However, it is an important bill if we want to promote and keep affordable housing stock within the state. And given the recent foreclosure that's been going on, foreclosure issues, I think that this is an important bill to move forward. Passed out of the Senate General Government Consumer and Small Protection Committee with a 4-0 vote, and I ask that you support the bill today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion, recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill, my good colleague from the Senator of Portland has already pointed out some of the key features. I'd just like to add one more comment. I would venture to say without immodesty that I have a fair amount of education under my belt, and I have trouble understanding these forms and seeing what's important in them. Furthermore, one of the biggest challenges we face in medicine is learning how to speak English and not doctor. Unfortunately, that art has not been mastered by our colleagues who write these kinds of documents. And as my colleague pointed out already in her introduction to this bill, that means important points are getting lost, both on the people who are signing them and on the people who are responsible for maintaining them as part of the public record. I, too, urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Dingfelder, you wish to close? Let's now rise upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 1535. Those in opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson? Johnson? Cruz? Monis Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Senator Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? 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 Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Hass? President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused. Bates. Morse. 28 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1535, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will please read the bill.
Senate Bill 1537, ruling to abandon burial spaces and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know why I get all of the cemetery bills. I've been asked that question. Maybe it's because I'm a historian and I really enjoy walking through old cemeteries and reading the headstones, or maybe because people think I have one foot in the grave. At any rate, this is another one of your cemetery bills that's very necessary and needed. It's been, they had an editorial in the Oregonian saying that's a very important bill, so you should vote for it anyway. Cemeteries throughout Oregon are holding burial spaces purchased decades ago, sometimes over a century ago, whose owners cannot be located and may never return to use them. Not only does this present a burden to the cemetery owner, but it limits the supply of burial spaces available to the community and may cause cemeteries to seek to expand. There's an existing process for reclaiming previously sold burial space, but it's not available to all cemeteries, and it is outdated, unwieldy, litigious, and expensive for both the cemetery owner and the public. Senate Bill 1537 leaves the existing process in place but creates an alternative that is better for both the cemetery owner and the public interest in many ways. First of all, it's available to all cemeteries who are holding burial spaces when there is no record of contact with the owner of the burial space or the person claiming through the owner, family member, or so on, for 50 years or more. Haven't heard from anybody for over 50 years, then this can take effect. 50-year threshold of 1537 is more protective of existing owners than the current 40-year threshold. The process created by 1537 provides more notice than the current process to any owners of burial spaces that it might reach. The proposed process is much less costly to both the cemetery and the public than the current process. The current process requires court summons, foreclosures, liens, courts, sheriffs, and auctions on the courthouse steps. Recovering a burial space through the current process usually costs more than the burial space is worth. This is a good bill. It is supported by cemetery owners all over the state. It's supported by the International Cemetery Cremation and Funeral Association. It's supported by Metro and by the League of Oregon Cities. It's a good bill. Vote yes.
Further discussion? Senator Monroe, do you wish to close? Question now rises upon a third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 1537. Those in opinion bills will pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Cruz? Monis Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Hass? Johnson?
Aye.
President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused. Bates, Monroe, 28 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1537, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1565, relating to dispensing with drugs, declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 1565 permits supervising physician or physician assistant organization to apply to the Oregon Medical Board for a dispensing authority for physician assistants, require supervising physician or supervising physician organization to register a facility from which physician assistants will dispense as drug outlet with the Oregon State Board of Pharmacy. The bill removes limitation providing that the Oregon State Board of Nursing may grant dispensing authority only to nurse practitioners in areas that lack readily available access to pharmacy services. Removes nurse practitioner and Board of Pharmacy authority. Removes new classification, which is practitioner dispensing drug outlet. It adds language requiring compliance with Board of Pharmacy rules. Clarifies that physician assistants retain existing privilege to dispense controlled substances in certain situations. Mostly technical bill. I urge an aye vote.
Now in a discussion, recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, one part of the bill states that the Medical Board and the Board of Pharmacy are going to jointly develop a drug dispensing training program. And I want to make sure that I get on record that this no way changes the ability of physician assistants today to dispense drugs. Under certain conditions, they are able to dispense drugs, and I just want to get on the record, and we did this in committee too, that this does not change the way physician assistants are able to dispense. This is narrowly focused on neighborhood clinics such as Zoom Care. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill. I understand that this is a disciplined, thoughtful bill. I understand that the OMA supports it, but consistent with my historic feeling about scope bills, I am going to be a no.
Recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm a little puzzled as to, never mind. To the bill. I am going to take a slightly different course from my respected colleague from the coast over there and say that this will be one of the only times I do vote yes on a scope bill. This is a very carefully designed, well thought out, and appropriate bill that affords patients more access to care in a more timely fashion and in a more coordinated way, and that's exactly what I support. So in this one case, I will be voting yes.
Further discussion? Senator Cruz, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1565. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Montes Anderson?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Morse? Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Brzezinski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters? Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused, Bates, Morse, voting no, Johnson, 27 aye votes.
The Senate bill. 1565, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of the House measures, please.
House Concurrent Resolution 203, recognizing and honoring Deputy Kelly James Friedenberg for service to the state. House Bill 4009, relating to impaired health professional program, declaring emergency. House Bill 4039, relating to tax deferral programs, declaring effective date.
These are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. The second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Other business Senate, of course, SR 8.403, committee referral lists number 7. And number 8 were distributed to the members on February 9th. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal and the State's report, and it is so ordered. We're now under announcement. Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats will not know
no way, be caucusing today. So enjoy your lunch, enjoy your nice lunch, and no caucus for Senate Democrats today.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Because Republicans believe in a government that is on time, under budget, and without the need for new taxes, we will not be having a caucus today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are there further announcements at this time? If there are no further announcements, without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:30 a.m. Monday, February 13th. I'd like to thank my fellow senators for being willing to come to the floor on Friday. I know that if it's possible, you'd like to take Fridays off to get back to your districts and your families, but you were willing to come here today. I thank you very much. And with that, we'll see you on Monday at 10:30 a.m., which is February 13th. The Senate is now has been adjourned.